ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय.
So everyone can repeat that one.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atha Panchadasho Jayah Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Udvamulam madashakam mashatam prahur avyayam chandam siyasya parnani yastam veda savedavit adashchudvam prashitashtashashaka guna pravitha vishaya pavaham adashchumulani anasantatani Karmanu Bandini Manushaloke Narupamaseha Tatopalavyate Nanto Nachadir Nachasampatishta Ashvatam Enam Sivaruda Mulam Asanga Sastrena Jirdena Chitpa Satapadam Tatpari Margitavyam Yasmengata Nani Vartande Bhuyaha Tameva chadyam purusham prapadye yata priviti pushita purani nirmana moha jita sangadosha adhyatmanitya vinivita kama dvandir vimukta sukadukka samge kachanta mudha padamaviyam tat natad basayate suryo nashashanko napavaka Yat katvani nivartante tadhama paramamama Mamevam sho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatanaha Manastashtanji injiyani prakatishtani karshati Sharira vijati vajante mam jana sukritino arjuna Arti jigyasu artha arti gyanicha bharatar shabha.
My Kali Yuga brain. You know Kali Yuga means everyone's memory is going shorter. So my vamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manasastanji injiyani pakatishtani karshati shariram yat avapnoti yachchapit kamatishwaraha grihitvaitani samyati vayur gandhani vashayat Shrotram chakshus parshanam cha rasanam grahanam eva cha adishchaya manashchayan vishayan upasevate Udkramantam stitam vapi bhunjanam vagunanvitan vimudananu pashanti pashanti gana chakshisha yatanto yoginashchainam pashanti atmavashritam yatanto kritatmano ninam pashanti chetasaha yaridityagatam dejo jagat pasayate kilam yachchandramasi yachchagno tattejo vidimamakam gamma vishat bhutani dharahamam ojasha pushname chashi Sarva samabhutvara satmakaha Aham Vaishnavanaro putva praninam dehamashrita pranapana samayukta Pachanam chaturvidam Sarvaschacham hridishanivishto mathasmitya jnanam apohanam cha Vedeshta sarve raham avedyo vedanta kritveda videva chaham Dvayima purusho loke sharaksharai vachak sharaksarva bhutani kutaksharu uchate utama purushashtvanya paramatmeti dashrita yolokachayama visha vivarta abhi ishvaraha yasmacharamati toham maksharat apichodatma atosmi loke vedecha prahita purushottama yomameva samodo janati purushottama sasarvavid bhajate mam sarvabhavena bharata itigiyatamam sashtram idam muktva mayanaka etat bhutva bhurimansha krita kritashta bharata Om Tat Saniti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supana Sastru Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Sastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Purushottama Yoga Panchadasha Jayaha. Hare Krishna. So that is chapter 15 in Sanskrit. Chapter 15 is entitled Purushottama Yoga. What does that mean in English? Anybody know? You guys know? It means Superman Yoga. Purusha means man. Uta means super. And yoga, Superman Yoga. So we're going to hear, what is the Superman Yoga? Bet you never saw it that way. So chapter 15 is divided into four sections. And these four sections make an acronym. H-O-M-E. So the verses 1 through 5, beginning with Urdvamulam and ending with Yadidita Gatam Tejo, Natad Vasayate Suryo, deal with the subject of whether this world is a home or hotel. Emma, what do you think? It's a hotel. And why is it a hotel? You gotta go. You can't stay here. And then someone, some time ago brought up another point. You don't own it. You can't really hold on to anything here. You think, oh, it's mine. Well, how is it yours? If you can't hold on to it, how can it be yours? Because the body is going to die. So you can't stay here. So there is a great saint in Christianity. He's the greatest saint, Jesus Christ. He says, do not store your treasures where thieves, rust, or moths lie. Don't invest in the temporary. So Krishna here is saying the same thing, that the material world, you won't actually find any saint in this world who says, no, the material world's a great place. Really, you should try to just have fun here. All of them will say, this place is temporary, and you'll be foolish to chase after the enjoyments of this world because it is like a carrot on the stick. You know? Have you seen that in a cartoon where the carrot is dangled in front of the foolish donkey? Or so many of us, we're all like that donkey, hoping for some temporary pleasure, but we're eternal. So the temporary thing will never actually, it's a bad marriage. You take an eternal being, and you put him in a place where everything is temporary, and he tries to find eternality in that temporary place. So he's unhappy. So, not a home, it's a hotel. Hotel, you go, you don't put your pictures on the wall. You don't repaint the wall and retile the floor and put in a new sink. You know, I'm not going to stay here that long. So, my ultimate happiness shouldn't be invested in how this hotel room looks. Because this is not my home. So then, verses 7 through 11 discuss O. They discuss O. O stands for over and over and on again. So what could that be? Sangsar, yes. Repeated birth and death. How the soul is subject to repeated birth and death in this world. So Krishna says, my fragmental parts are called the jivas, the souls. And they're my parts eternally. And they're struggling in this world. They're engaged in the struggle for existence. Shariram yadavapnoti. So they give up one body, and they accept another body. And they do this carrying the different conceptions of life from one body to another. How many of you have heard of Mozart? Have you guys heard of Mozart? So Mozart was composing symphonies at the age of 4. He would hear even dual symphonies. He's just trying to write it down. So in his past life, he had a great desire and interest in music. Vayur gandhani vashayat. He carried those different mentalities and desires from one life to another. Just like if air passes over a rose garden, how does it smell? Rosy. If it passes over Staten Island, how does it smell? Does anybody know what that is? Like garbage. Staten Island is where the New York City stores all of its garbage. So it smells like a dump. High cancer rate there. Yeah. So, but the air, what does air smell like? Similarly, the soul is pure. It is without these material designations, but it's carrying different designations from one life to another and adjusting that, taking on different fragrances as it goes on. But the original quality of the self is pure. Shariram yaravapnoti yachkrishva grihatvedani samyati vaidhi. So Shrotram Chakshus, he gets another type of ear, eye, sense of touch, tongue, nose, all a group to manashchayan, a group to man the mind. So he gets different types of bodies based on his desires and deeds. That can be a human body, it could be an animal body. One is actually taking birth in various species of life. That's why we're vegetarian, by the way, because the soul is the same in all creatures. Same kind of person, the same thing that makes you communicate and walk around and have friends is the same thing that makes an animal do many beautiful things. The soul is the same in all creatures. The machine that it operates may be different. Just like a battery in the clock can be the same kind of battery. So Krishna says Shariram Yarva Shrotram Chakshus Parsham Charasam Granavicha Dishamana Shandisham Urkraman Tamstitam Bhapi Bunjanam Vaganam Fimura Nanu Pashanti Pashanti Jnana Chakshusha. Now she's very young. So at this age, she will not know that that clock or any of her toys need batteries, isn't it? She cannot understand that. So similarly, those who are spiritually immature, they do not know that the body actually needs the presence of the soul to operate. But a person who is an adult, look at that clock. How many of you think there is some kind of power source in that clock? You all agree? There's some kind of power source? Because you are mature folks. Your intelligence has had time to develop. So similarly, yatanto yoginashchainam, those, Krishna says, those who have actually endeavored in spiritual life, they can see how the soul exists in all creatures. But those who are still yet immature, they cannot see even if they try. So she may not, even if she sees the battery, she will not understand it. She probably thinks this is yummy taste. What's the use of this mic? It doesn't smell like anything tasty. So then the next letter is M. So M stands for maintainer of mind, body, and soul. So here Krishna is saying that sunlight, moonlight, fire, these all are powers of God. They come from God. Can you exist without sunlight? I think she's probably, more attention is on her than me. So, can you exist without sunlight? Oh. Even the Farmer's Almanac says that the moon affects the growth of vegetables, which here in the Bhagavad Gita is stating the same thing. And fire. You need fire to cook your food. Otherwise, your digestion might not be suitable to digest so much food. Therefore, you have rice. To try to eat rice without it being cooked, be very hard. You want to go back to mommy? I think you're tired of me. Zoom! Nobody can replace mommy. Mommy's the best, so. So Krishna is saying, maintainer, H-O-M. What was H? Home or hotel. That was the subject, home or hotel. Then O, over and over and on again. And M? Maintainer of mind, body, and soul. So here Krishna is saying, I'm maintainer of the body. I give sunlight. God is giving the sunlight. He is the power behind fire and the moon, by which we couldn't have food. Then he says, Gamavishatubhutani, dharaham aham ojasha. He says, I enter into all planets and cause them to float. Gamavishatubhutani, dharaham aham ojasha, pushnami choshiri sarva, somabhutvarasatmaka. And by the influence of the moon, I nourish the vegetables. So that is even recognized in Western modern science, how the moon has an effect on drawing the, like the tides, it draws nutrients up into the vegetables. Now, what if you already had the nice food fit for a king and you say, I don't need the sun, but there's something you need to enjoy your food. You need another type of fire, and that is the fire of digestion. And so Krishna says, I am the fire of digestion in all creatures, which digests the four kinds of foodstuff, without which no living entity could survive. So that's body. But then he says, mind. He says, I'm in every living entity's heart. And from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So even the mind, the functions of the mind, are facilitated by God. So you can't even operate. You can't even remember to put that food in your mouth unless God helps you. Just like a child may try to pick up something that is very heavy, and the father, out of the vision of the child, may lift that very thing from the side. And the child may mistakenly think, I am doing this all alone, all on my own. Let me see if this is the other students. Hello? Go to the temple room. We're here with Lake Highland Park students.
All right.
Oh. Wesley. All right. So you know Wesley. Mom's going to find somebody who looks lost. So, Emma's going to go too. So what was the last thing I said?
Digestion.
And then the intelligence. Oh. So that's mind, body, mind. And then what's the last one? Soul. So the last part of that verse, he says, Vedeshcha sarve raham avidyo. By all the Vedas, I am meant to be known. Vedanta Krit, I am the author. Vedavit, I am the knower of the Vedas as well. So God provides spiritual sacred literature by which we can understand the process of success in life and the goal of life. And what's the last letter? We'll cover the last one real quick. E. So E stands for essence. That's just the game. Crawl and then pull back. Okay. So E stands for essence, and Krishna says, Dvayima Purusholoke. There are two types of persons in existence. Any guess what are those two types of persons? There are those who are conditioned, who think they are this body. Emma, are you a girl? Are you Indian? So that's called conditioning. We think we're the body. Just like I drive a Toyota, but if I thought myself the Toyota, I would be in trouble. So we think we're the body. So Krishna says there are two types of souls, two types of beings in existence. There are those in the material world who are conditioned and think, and misidentify the self with the body. And then there are those in the spiritual world who are free. Welcome, Wesley. Hi. Okay, we got Wesley. Which one? Is this your Wesley? All right. And Scott. Welcome. And you guys know your friends here? Cool. So we're just finishing a little ceremony here. And so Krishna says two types of souls in existence, the conditioned and the liberated. But then he describes there is another person, Purushottama, Superman. Superman, that is Purusha Uttam, means God, the supreme person. Uttama Purusha Shtvanya Paramatma Tidashrita. He is celebrated by the name of Super Soul, Paramatma. Yo Lokachayama Visha Bibharta Abhishra. He maintains all beings and all planets. Yasmat Sharamatitoham. Because Krishna is saying, because I'm beyond both the liberated and the conditioned, I'm celebrated in the world and in the Vedas. Lokavede Cha Prahita Purushottama, as that supreme person. And Yo Mam Eva Samudo, one who knows this without a doubt. Sarsarvavid, he is a knower of everything. Bajate mam sarvavaveena bharata. And he engages in my loving devotional service. Iti guyatamam sastram. This is the greatest secret of the Vedas. Idam uktva mayanaga. And Arjuna, you can understand this because you are free from all types of sinful activities. Etam bhutva bhurimanchat krita kritashta bharata. And knowing this, you become wise. And all your endeavors will know perfection. So that is our blessing. That is the blessing given. That she'll become fully spiritually wise and everything she'll do will lead to the highest perfection of life. So it's a very good blessing to have. Hari Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. So he is doing the arti. And then we have these students here. And so because of the time adjustment, we'll have a little question answers, and then once the arti is finished, then we can do the hair cutting, and then we have nice prasad. Does that sound good? And you guys are welcome to listen. So now we're going to bring our attention to you guys. Welcome, Wesley and Scott. All right, we have a question for all of you guys here, and whoever gets the answer right wins a prize. It could be the newest Xbox, or it could be even a Tesla Roadster 2018. But actually, it might even be something better than that. So, and if you get the answer, you're going to get this amazing prize, and you're just going to be like probably doing backflips. Even if you haven't even practiced doing backflips, suddenly you're like, whoa, I feel like doing a backflip, and you do it perfectly. So you ready for the questionnaire? Okay, everyone wants the prize. So is Emma, where's the two Emmas? Okay, Emma, and the middle? Eliza. Okay, we got E's at least. That's cool. All right. So the question is, just an introduction to this place. This temple, we bought this place in 1971. And it was a church. It was a Christian church. And the worship was done in the other building. And if you can guess what this room was for, we give you a prize.
And you guys can make guesses too. You want the Tesla Roadster.
Or it's going to be better. It's going to be better than a Tesla Roadster.
Yeah,
They probably did pray, but it wasn't a prayer room. Confession. Not confession, no. Another Emma? Mom? Lodge, hotel, no.
So should I give you the answer?
Should I give the answer? Alright. So it used to be a basketball court. Did he say it? Gymnasium. Okay. We'll give him the prize then. So you ready for the prize? Is a free book of your choice. So it's going to be amazing spiritual literature there. Which is actually better than the Tesla Roadster. So the story is, so this used to be a Christian church. This was a basketball court with white tile floor and green cinder block walls. It did not look very nice at all. People, in fact, were thinking, how can we make this place nice? Is it possible? And the story is that this gentleman came to America in 1965. He was 70 years old. Any of you have any relatives around that age? So just imagine, 70 years old, he had boarded a cargo ship as a monk. He was given a free passage on a cargo ship from Bombay to Boston Harbor. He had two heart attacks on that ship. He had absolutely no money. He came with 40 rupees, but it was not exchangeable, so he actually had no money. He didn't really know anybody here. And shortly after landing, he made his way to New York City. In New York City, he struggled. One second. Let me see.
Haribo? Oh, we're in the temple room with the group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, got another student. Watch. Are you Lake Highlands too?
Yes.
All right, welcome. And there's another school group coming in. And so, you know, what is the best way to be a student is to be a teacher. So maybe some of you could tell what you learned to the next group that comes in. But so, the story is that he came to America with absolutely no money, two heart attacks aboard a cargo ship, 70-year-old monk, made his way to New York City, struggled there, and eventually opened a tiny little temple in the lower part of Manhattan. And in Manhattan, he started a tiny little temple. It was about a fifth of this room, a really small place. But within the next 11 years, this gentleman managed to circle the globe 14 times, opening over, 130 temples all around the world. Welcome, Hare Krishna. So do you know anybody who's opened a church or a temple? So he opened 130 of them all around the world. He trained over 10,000 students. But that's just scratching the surface. The most amazing thing is that while doing all that work within 11 years, he managed to write and translate over 100 volumes of books. So
here, I'll show you.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Part 2. This is one out of 18 volumes of this one book. So he didn't just do one big fat book like this. He did over 100 books from Sanskrit to English.
What's your name? Lucas. How's your Sanskrit?
What is this pastor? I'm an expert, everybody. So you pastor, I guess, okay.
So what's in the books? First thing that's covered, we discussed a little bit with the E-Company, Eliza and Emma and family. And that is, the first thing that's discussed is some biology. You guys taken any type of natural science class? Multiple choice question for you. How does the body grow? Is it A, bodies grow like balloons, where a balloon is the same thing? But you've added something like water, air, and it's gotten bigger over time. Or B, your old cells are actually replaced with new cells. Which one would you say? A or B? B? Are you sure? All right, good. Vote for, yeah, it is B. And can I get one of you guys, any of you guys can come up and do a demonstration. Who's feeling brave? Wesley's feeling brave. He's up for it. All right. So here we got Wesley. He's our main man here. All right. Okay, so Wesley, have you ever taken Spanish class before? Latin, okay, even better. So, vegetarian restaurants don't serve meat. How do you say meat in Latin?
I'm not sure. They have different words for each meat.
Okay. How about in Spanish? Any of you guys know? Carne. All right. So Wesley, show us your carne. Go like that. Explosion. All right. Thank you. Now, Wesley, scientific question for you. Did you have that same carne 10 years ago?
No.
Okay, so that would mean Wesley has reincarnated. Thank you, Wesley. All right. Give Wesley a hand. Reincarnated Wesley. So reincarnation is a scientific fact. Unless you think your body is a balloon that is just stretched over time, this is not the body you were born with. That's not the body you were born with. So you're not, what part of you is Wesley? It's not the skin and the bones. The brain has changed. And Emma and Eliza can tell you that you don't actually have a soul. You are the soul. Does that make sense? Like I have a phone. Like I say my foot. And we do say iPhone, but I'm actually not the phone. But so I possess the foot. The foot is something I have. But the part, the I, that's me. That's the soul. So I don't have a soul. I am a soul. Are you following that? Does it make any sense? A little bit. So like a possession is something you have. Like I got some Apple products here. So these are some the Apple AirPods or headphones. I possess this. So there's the I and then there's the possession. So I don't have a soul. I am the entity that has a body. So I have a body. Not that I'm a body and I have a soul. No, I have a body and I am a soul. I am a soul. Does that make sense? All right. So where did you guys drive in from? What part of town? You guys probably weren't driving though. So did you use a GPS? So what pieces of information does a GPS need to operate? Jacob. Is that Jacob? Lucas. But what does it need to work? Needs to go know where you want to go, and then there's something even more important. Needs to know where you are, exactly. So you got your destination where you want to go. Like if mom is your name, yeah. Lee, okay. So Lee calls up and I answer the phone, she says, How do I get to Kalachanji's? What do I say to Lee? Where are you? So in order to route any destination, to make a plan, to go somewhere, you have to know where you're coming from. What's your position? So the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, start with that very subject. What is our position? Now, if Lee thinks that she's in South Dallas, and she says, oh, I'm in South Dallas, off of 35E, then I say, oh no, go north. Yeah? But if she's actually in North Dallas, she's going to go the wrong direction. Does that make sense? You guys all get that? So if I have a misconception, if I think that I am this body and I want to be happy, then my plan will not actually take me to true happiness because I'm starting off with the wrong idea of where I'm really at, what my position is. Does that all make sense? No confusions? Everybody's got that? All right. So question for Emma. Either or. What's the food for the soul? Here's this monk guy that's talking about how the soul is not happy with comforts and money and profit and fame and power and adoration and new phones and things like that. Those really don't truly make someone happy. What makes a person truly, fully, deeply satisfied? What's the food for the soul? Any guess? Enlightenment? So the soul, say, for example, just imagine your hands grew a brain. So you got in your head? Hands grew a brain, little brain. And your hands decide to go on strike. Why? Because they work so hard to feed the stomach. But what's that guy ever done for them? They don't know. They've got little brains. So the hands take, instead of feeding the stomach, they take mashed potatoes and they rub it all over. How do the hands feel? They feel great. They're like, this is awesome. We're wasting our time feeding that stomach. What has he ever done for us? We're now true enjoyers of life. But give the hands a week of strike, going on strike. How do they feel? They feel very weak. Lethargy. They start to even feel some muscle pain. Some things start working improperly. They don't feel very good. So they have an emergency meeting. And in this meeting, they say something's wrong. When we fed the stomach, we were feeling good. And now we don't feel so good. So let's go back to feeding the stomach. And by feeding the stomach, automatically they feel nourished, they feel energized, their pain goes away. So why is that? Because the hand, sorry, we get the right to splash you in the face. So why is that? Because the hands are part of something greater. So similarly, the soul is actually part of God. He is related to God. And when the soul serves God with love, he becomes happy. Does that sound somewhat familiar to something you've been taught in your life? So when the soul serves God with love, he becomes happy. As the hand, instead of trying to take the food for itself, the hand offers that food to the stomach, it becomes nourished. So in this world, our general mode of operation is not to be servants or lovers of God, to be actually try to be little gods ourselves. We calculate, what can I get from this person? What can I get from this situation? And we're always trying to get things for ourselves being the center of pleasure. But we're a part of something greater. And when we serve the greater, we serve God, then we become satisfied. Now, question for you. So you guys took a little Spanish. We got Latin. Any other languages? Kya pindi samashtahu? So how do you say the sun in Hindi?
Suraj. Suraj.
El sol. How about, but remember Latin? Do you remember how to say it in Latin? The sun? Vilius? And anybody, South Indian language, anybody here? Any other languages? Gujarat? Kemcho? Suraj? Now, is Suraj an Indian sun? Indian sun?
Yeah.
He likes chutney and... Or is there El Sol? Is it a Mexican sun? The sun becomes Mexican. So the Vedic conception of God is not dogmatic. There's no Hindu God and Christian God. Or there's no group that God favors over another group. And God does not refuse to accept the love and prayers of any particular group of people. Actually, the only thing that can attract God's attention is love. God has all the wealth. He has all the power. He has all the intelligence. He has all the fame. He has all attractive qualities in their fullest extent. So there's nothing you can offer God other than love. He's not interested in anything else. He's not religious, interested in elaborate rituals or a religious allegiance. He looks at what kind of love you have. Does it make any sense? Now, back to the sun. Would any of you think that the sun is very cold? Why not? Wesley, is the sun cold? Why don't you think so? Because someone told you. Anybody have another answer? And you do live in Texas. Okay, so better than someone telling you. And that is based on a degree of faith. You know, maybe reasonable faith, but there's still a degree of faith. But direct experience is a higher evidence than just words of an authority. You know. Actually, most of the time we think the word faith refers to religion, but it's, you know, everything where there's so much. And how many of you have seen an atom? Have you seen any atoms? No, but you believe in atoms because there's some authority that has given you some, you know, maybe they've given you a microwave or something like that, and the people behind that created some far out things. So there's some faith in the information that's given from that authority. But direct experience of the sun, it's called, there is what is called in Sanskrit, satkaryavad. You can understand something about a cause by looking at its effects. Does that make sense? So if the sunlight is hot, then the source, which is producing so much sunlight, should be so much more hot, so much more luminous. So in this room, what do you see, Lee? People. All right. Actually, this is the guy that I heard the example from. We find people there in the, we've seen the paintings, but another thing we see is people. So if God is the source of everything, then God has to be a person. Oh, got a flower to smell? If God is anything less than a person, then you are more than God. If you have a face, a form, if you have activities and relationships, a personal character, and God is lacking those things, it would be illogical. It's like saying the sun is cold, but out comes hot sunlight. So the source must have more than the effect. Does that make sense? So God is a person. So what does that person look like? Is it possible to know what God looks like? Why is it not possible? Can a... Yes. No, God has not revealed himself to anyone. Can a child... Oh, this look at this shirt Brian has. This is a great shirt. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, come, give everybody a good, nice shot of that shirt. Here.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian. Check out the shirt. A friend of mine just gave it to me. It says, I'm 100% pure spirit soil. Here's my label. Like I said, I just got this as a gift yesterday.
That's a sweet shirt.
Brand new.
Yeah. So the soul is fireproof, windproof, waterproof. You can't kill or destroy the soul. Now, can you remind me of your name again? Isaac. So Isaac, how tall are you, Isaac? You probably don't know because you're growing too fast, so it's like hard to keep track. Can you touch the head of an elephant? You could. You know how? If the elephant comes down to you. Yeah. Well, if you have a full-size elephant and it agrees to lower its head to be touched by Isaac, then it can happen. So on your own, you can't understand what does God look like. But God can reveal himself. God is not incapable of things. He can show what he looks like. So in the Vedic scriptures, there's many vivid descriptions of God and his appearance. And it describes... Kishore. It describes that God, although he is the oldest person, he doesn't look elderly. He's ever youthful. In fact, he eternally looks around 16, not 14, 16. His eyes are shaped like beautiful lotus petals. He is the remarkable scene of beauty. God is not only the most oldest and powerful, but he's also the most beautiful. So he's not an old man with a beard, like the painting, the Michelangelo painting. He is with a form, but he is not. That's not his actual form. So when someone imagines a form of God, that's what you would call idol worship, where you concoct or imagine something. But when a form of God is revealed by scripture, that is authentic. So in the paintings you see here on the altar, all the different forms of Krishna have been designed according to the scriptural descriptions of what God looks like. So one day you call up your mom and you say, Emma, you say, Mommy, I met this wonderful boy and I am so much in love with him. And she's like, oh my God. And so what does mom say to Emma? That's great. And you just hang up the phone. Or do you say anything else? I want to meet him. And what else? I'm sure you're a little more curious than that. You say, well, what's his name? And Emma says, I don't know. And then you say, well, what's he look like? And Emma says, I don't know. And you say, well, is this like a new internet kind of relationship or something? Well, what's his personality like? And she says, well, I don't really know. At this point, you're probably, okay, Emma, you're going crazy. So to fall in love with somebody is a very advanced level of a relationship. And so in order to increase our level of relationship with God, there's a lot of information for one to fall in love with God. Because you can have a lot of admiration for an anonymous benefactor. Somebody gives you $1 million, but you don't know who that person is. But you wouldn't necessarily be in love with that person. So in the same way, The vivid, these detailed descriptions of what God looks like is given in the scripture so we can actually develop a profound, deep attraction. So I'll stop here because unless you believe everything I say, I would like to get some questions from you. And if you don't have any questions, I'm going to think you believe everything I say, and therefore we'll give you a haircut like we'll give the baby. And you can become a priest in the temple. So, any questions? And please don't be shy that I know a lot of us have been trained not to challenge, but it is a very philosophical tradition and it encourages. Actually, we're reading this morning in the sacred Bhagavatam, that book that's on your lap. The person, God presents some teaching and the person who's hearing it is challenging God. Wait a minute. I don't understand this because previously it said this. So you have to make this clear. So it is a very intellectual, very philosophical system. So we do encourage questions no matter how challenging they are. Yes. No, so you have what is called energy, and you have energetic. You have the power, but you also have the powerhouse. So if you only refer to the impersonal, there is an impersonal aspect of God, His energy, which is called Brahman, Brahma Jyotir. But if you only have that, then you have an incomplete understanding. If God is simply energy, then you have more characteristics than God. God has to be the source of everything. Now, I have a form, but my form, I need to take a shower, I need to put on deodorant, I might have some wrinkles, I might have some gray hair. My form is incomplete. God has a form, but it is the perfection of form. Now, and Krishna talks about this in Gita. He says, mudayo nabi janati yavan chastasmi tatvataha. He says, when I descend in my human-like form, fools deride me because they cannot grasp how the Supreme Absolute appears as a person. But if we are to say, I'm a person and God is not a person, then we're claiming superiority over God. So we want to be conscious of God. That's called Krishna consciousness. And He is Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. So Anantarupam, yeah, He has unlimited forms. But His forms are never any less than another form. Like if we take a piece of paper and rip it in two, then there's less of that paper. Correct? That's the way everything works in the material world. If you take something from it, it becomes less. But spiritual mathematics, according to the Upanishads, Sri Ishopanishad, Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam, Purnat Purnam Udachate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya, Purnam Eva Vashishate. You know this one. Krishna, God, is Purnam, complete. And even if He makes another Krishna of Himself, another expansion of Himself, both are complete. So God can actually multiply His forms, and He is still God, and those forms are actually, they're Him, and appearing in a different space. But, so if you look at this painting, you may say, oh, that's a beautiful painting, and another person may say, no, it is a atom. You know, they got their microscope up to the painting. Who's right? Who's right? They're both right. So if you say God is simply impersonal, He's just an energy, that's one aspect. But if you say it is simply, then you're refuting the other, you're removing the other aspect of reality. So you're only seeing half the picture. And if you say, no, God is just a person, He's just up there and He's not here because, you know, the table's not a person. So God is not here, He's not everywhere. Then you're missing the other aspect, that God is also everywhere. So like the sun and sunlight, you can follow this one. The sun and the sunlight, where do you say the sun begins? The sunlight is also the sun. You could say the sun's right outside. But at the same time, the sun globe is not necessarily directly right outside there. So it is simultaneously one and different. That make sense? Thank you, thank you. Good question. And Lucas, or is it Lucas? All right. And any questions? Yes, young man. He's got the most questions. Up there, yes, Garuda. How many of you have ever heard of a place called Bali? Bali, yeah. It's was that in Indonesia? Is that in Indonesia? Now, what airlines goes to Bali? We have Mother Kunti. She works for American Airlines, so she knows the airlines very well. Garuda Airlines was recognized this year as the world's best economy airlines. Garuda Airlines, that is a statue of Garuda from Bali, very Balinesian style of Garuda. Now, if you go to India, Garuda doesn't look so scary, isn't it? He looks more like a bird man. You know, Garuda in India, he looks pretty fierce looking. This style of Garuda, the Balinese style. But in India, he looks more peaceful. But you see, the entire Vedic culture, this ancient Indian culture, spreads through all of China, Korea, Japan. 80% of the angels, the devatas or demigods of Japan, are all from India. So Garuda is actually Krishna's airplane. When Krishna wants to go somewhere, he rides on Garuda's back, like a surfboard. So he's Krishna's transcendental carrier. And therefore they made, and you'll see Garuda. How many of you have seen Night at the Museum 3? You remember the little Garuda? There you go. You know the Garuda. Welcome, guys. Hare Krishna. Where are you from? Houston. Welcome, welcome. So, nice question. Any other questions? Why does he need a plane to go anywhere? That's a very good question. Actually, there is the pastime of Gajendra. Do you know Gajendra, the elephant? Gajendra was an elephant in the higher planets within this universe. So in the universe, in the material universe, not the kingdom, not the spiritual world, in the material universe, there are different gradations of planetary life. The Vedas describe that there are 8,400,000 species within the universe. 400,000 human-like species within this universe, according to Indian scripture. And there are species that have, we're in a middle-class planet. People live not too long, not too short. There is quite a bit of misery, and there's a little bit of pleasure. It's kind of very middle class. There are places lower, and there's also places higher where people live very long lifespans, have very powerful abilities and intelligence. In Sanskrit, that's called Swarga, or the heavenly planets within the material universe. Beyond heaven is the spiritual world. That's another completely different subject. So there is an elephant in those heavenly planets that was engaged in a big fight with a crocodile. And an elephant on the land, he can do very well, but he was right on the banks of the river, and so it was a very dire situation. So he was fighting this crocodile. Now, it's an elephant from a higher planet, so he was fighting the crocodile for 1,000 years. It's a long time. And his situation became more and more hopeless. But because he was a bhakta, he was a devotee of God from his past life, he started to remember some prayers that he had made in his past life in his trying situation. So the elephant immediately took a flower, a lotus flower, and started to make an offering and offer these prayers saying, "Oh Lord, I am at your shelter. I am helpless without you. please have mercy upon me. And the Lord immediately appeared, riding on the back of Garuda. But it said that he is everywhere, so it didn't take him any time. Because although the spiritual world can be considered very, very far from the material plane, he came instantly. Therefore, God can always hear your prayers. He's everywhere. And he came on the back of Garuda, and he killed the alligator, and both the soul, the person who was embodied, the body of the alligator, and the one in the elephant went back to the spiritual world, being in the direct presence of God. So that was very cool. The alligator got the benefit because he was on the feet of the bhakta. So he got that benefit. Yes, I think. Question? So you guys got it. You're not the body. You're a spirit soul. And God's a person. Now, in Christianity, there's an... I'm assuming you're probably familiar with Christianity. I grew up in America. That was kind of like what was... what we know about. We know more about that than say like Buddhism or Hinduism or something like that. In Christianity, there are many angels, correct? Does that make Christianity polytheistic? So you understand there's the employer and then the employees. And there's a very difference, great difference between the employer and the employees. And therefore you have the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have any lords before me. Correct? So in the same thing you'll find in the Bhagavad Gita, there's only one God. Same God that people are praying to in Christianity. There's only one God. But he does have a lot of employees. And in the Vedic culture, they'll give such detailed information of those employees. What they look like, where do they live, what they do, those angels, that people will misconceive the idea that Hinduism is polytheistic. Now, in every religion, you have three strands. One is the strand of what is called karma, means you want a fruit, you want to get something out of it, isn't it? Does that exist in Hinduism? Yes. Does that exist in Christianity? Yes. Does it exist in every religion? There's people want things like, oh, you do this religious thing, then you're going to get some good fortune in your life. That's called karma, the path of karma. You want some karma. You want some fruits, some results of your actions. Then there is the path of jnana. Jnana means philosophy, but the end result of philosophy is to escape the world of suffering and enter salvation or liberation or moksha. Do you find that in every religion? Does that exist in Christianity? People want to go to heaven? In Hinduism, does that exist? People want liberation? They say, I'm done with this world. Does that exist in Buddhism? That's the whole core of Buddhism. There's no point to this material suffering. Let's go back to the spiritual world. Or let's get out of the material suffering. Now, those two are actually selfish. Even the going back to the spiritual world, salvation, because it's all about you and you getting out of some suffering. So there is another strand of religion that's in every tradition called bhakti, devotion, love. So that's the strand where you're not trying to get anything. You don't even care for salvation. You just want to see God smile. You want to please him. Perfect example of this was the gopis. Once God was walking the earth and he was like this, and people are like, oh, are you okay, God? He says, I have a headache. And then, so they went and got a doctor. Now the doctor was God himself. He appeared in other form, in disguise. Krishna, he appeared, and he sent this Kaviraj, his doctor. And the doctor said, the only thing that will cure this boy's headache is if one of the devotees of God places their feet on his head. Now, you think that is a very nice thing to do somebody you respect? Put your feet on their head? Is that nice? So they went around asking everyone, can you come? Krishna has a headache. Will you put your feet on his face? What did everyone say? They said, no, no, no. I don't want to go to hell. That's a horrible thing to do. That's a horrible thing to do. And so they all just went away. But they went to the highest devotees in the spiritual world, the gopis. And they said, will you place your feet on Krishna's head? He has a headache and this is the cure. And they immediately ran towards Krishna and said, we will happily do that. And they said, well, haven't you heard? Someone who puts their feet on God's head, they're going to hell. They're going to suffer. They said, we will happily suffer anything, but if it cures Krishna's headache. So that is called bhakti. When the person actually doesn't have any vested interests, they just want to to offer happiness and joy and pleasure to God himself. Now, does that sound like the teachings of Jesus Christ? The purpose of life is to be a lover of God? Okay, so that's actually what we call Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan means what? Eternal. Dharma religion. That's the religion of the soul. It existed before India existed. It existed before Jerusalem, Mecca. It is the religion of the soul is to be a lover of God. Does it make any sense? Cool. Well, thank you guys very much. You guys been here. I know you guys been here since 11 o'clock. So welcome. And there he's got his proof that he came to the Hare Krishna temple. Well, unless he's really good at Photoshop. So you guys go and have lunch, and then I'll come sit with you guys during the lunch, and then we can talk some more. But we'll do a haircut, and then I'll come sit with you guys. So get a big table. And you may forget everything I say, but you won't forget our lunch. It's really amazing. So it's like it's at least 50% of the experience. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. And thank you for your patience. You got to stay for the whole RT and everything.